Hi, Sherry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Welcome to our little program. We're calling it Try Chatter.
Because I like to chatter.
Yeah, and I love to listen to Sherry chatter. Ron Satterma here, Sherry Bostonrard there.
Nice to see you.
A couple of age groupers who just have a whole lot of fun in the sport.
We do. And we want to share it with you.
Yes, we do. And this week we're going to talk about three subjects. We're going to try to stay on track a little bit more than we did last time.
No tangents.
We're going to start out telling you about our recent race reports. Sherry and I both raced over the weekend, different races, but we'll tell you about our race reports in our first segment. Second segment is going to be about try crack, as Sherry puts
swim
it.
Swim crack.
swim crack, yes, thank you. And the last thing is tapering before your race. So
very, very important.
Very important, I agree. So you just did Malibu.
And I did.
And Malibu's got two distance races. They've got an Olympic distance race or intermediate race
right.
on Saturday. And they're
right.
doing the traditional race still on
and
Sunday.
And they do the classic distance on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday is a half mile swim, an 18 mile bike ride, and a 4 mile run. So it is a long distance for a sprint.
Right.
You know, it's a little longer than a sprint, which is nice. And the Olympic distance is a 1500 meter swim in the beautiful Pacific Ocean. Amazing. 24.8 mile bike ride on rolling hills, Zuma Beach going north and back, and the run is 6 mile out and back with a couple little loops, pretty much just about all flat. Great race.
Yeah.
Love Malibu.
Beautiful.
I love everything about Malibu. This year, because we don't live that far away, we stayed home and drove up the morning of.
Had
to
what time
get up a little
did you get
early.
Up?
We got up at 3 a.m. Pete got up at 2:45, started making coffee. I was up at 3. We were in the car at 3:50 in the parking lot in Zuma Beach at 5 a.m. And our philosophy is kind of, if it's a race that's within not too long of a drive, stay home because you don't have to pack your bags. You don't have to schlep everything in and out of the hotel. There's a lot to be said for sleeping in your own bed.
Absolutely.
And if you have to get up an hour earlier maybe, it's worth it. No traffic. So anyway, we got up to Malibu and we just had an amazing day. Our new triathlon club had our kits on, our race kits
nice.
For the first time. And we had five people, was it five or six of us up there racing? There were six of us. And I had everybody set time goals for themselves, because you know how I am about that, and sent them a little note. I was like their mother, okay, this is, don't forget to pack this, and eat a good breakfast, and all these things, and everybody had a great race. I set my time goals and exceeded them.
Excellent.
I was thrilled, thrilled, thrilled.
What was the weather like?
The weather was cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Cloudy. I was afraid it might end up being real foggy,
yeah.
as it has been at times before in Malibu. And the water was cold. It was 59. But it was funny, when we warmed up, it didn't feel it. But by the end of that swim, I was ready to get out of that water.
Yeah.
How
was the surf? Because I've been there at that race, and we've had 10-foot surf.
It was not bad at all.
Yeah.
It was not bad at all. Little northerly swell. So, you know, after watching the first group go off, we all realized, you know, we got to start down here a little bit, aim out there, and the swell's going to take you right to the buoy.
Yeah.
And so by the time my wave took off, we'd had it pretty much perfected. And I hit the buoy just spot on, which is probably the first time that's ever happened in Malibu. This was the first swim I've had in a long time where I felt really good. I felt like I did everything right, and I even did the backstroke turn around the buoy. Have we talked about the backstroke
no,
turn?
No, I'm dying to hear about it.
We'll talk about that. We don't want to get off on a tangent because I do that. And I got on this gal's feet after, you know, we made the first turn. You go out and you go north. So we were going
never
with the current.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And she was a little wide. I would have tended to maybe stay more on the buoy line, but you know, it didn't look like there was much of anybody over there. So I thought, well, maybe they know something I don't. And this year I'm not going to just go and be by myself for the next 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
Because that's not a smart thing to do.
How many women were in your wave?
There were 100 and some women in my wave. I'm
wow.
not sure. It was the 40 and over.
Wow.
And so this gal, she was a little faster than me, and as soon as she would start getting away, you know, I just kept remembering all those things you need to do, and I would, you know, work harder and get up on her, did the drafting. Remember we talked about that? I stayed on her right side a little bit because I breathe on my left, mm-hmm. and it was great. It was really nice, and we made the turn in, and the surf was just perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was able to catch, because, you know, one nice little wave coming in brought me right up, belly up on the sand almost, and it was beautiful. So my swim goal was 31 minutes, because that's a reasonable goal. I figured I'm probably going to be barely in the top third, because I know that the swim's not my best thing, but, you know, I'm certainly hoping I'm above the top half. So that's right where I was. I was seventh place coming out of the swim.
Oh,
out
wow.
of 31 women.
Oh, nice.
In my age group. So, yeah, it was 31:05, so 5 seconds off. My T1 time was great. I got everything off.
The queen of transition.
Pardon?
The queen of transition.
I am the queen of transition. I kicked everybody's butt in transition. And I tell everybody that. Free time. Don't waste it. You know how hard it is to take them 30 seconds even off.
Off your swim.
Off anything.
You gotta kill yourself.
Yeah. So yeah, I nailed it in transition, and I ended up 20 seconds faster than my goal time. So my transition time was 1:30. My goal time on the bike was 1:11. My race time was 1:11:13.
Oh, wow.
So I pretty much nailed it on the bike, and I could have probably gone a little harder, but you know, I felt really good. And
yeah.
And coming off the bike, I was kind of back and forth a couple times with this other girl, Chris Stilton, and so I knew that I would beat her on the run. But I didn't know if anybody was ahead of me. I knew that we were pretty close to the front, but I didn't know, you know? I didn't know if there was anybody who came
out of
the swim. You just never know.
You don't know.
So T2 time was 20 seconds under what my goal time was.
Great.
Went out on the run, and I'll tell you, the speed workouts have been doing their job. I felt good. I felt good on the run. So my goal time for the run was 45 minutes. Because I did a 10, well, anyway, won't get on that tangent. I did the run in 42:17.
Wow,
or something
you smoked
like that.
It. So what does that work out to pace wise?
Well, it says 6:49 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I had good second half, especially. I mean, I felt strong.
Wow.
And you know why? Because I didn't kill myself on that swim. I said, Sherry, be smart, stay behind this girl, work hard when you have to, stay on her. I didn't have to sight as much, because when I would look up and make sure she was just out a little further, but she was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Honey, ride the draft if you can. And I really think that I was smart on the swim and it paid off. Because I didn't feel beat up, I felt strong. And B, I was able to work hard. I lost my train of thought. What was that B?
You just had something in the tank for the rest of the race.
I had
something in the tank.
Yeah, I know what this B is.
Swim.
I felt like I had a perfect taper. And we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What about you? So I made my goal time. My goal time was 2:31, finished in 2:28:26.
And
yippee.
You finished?
Second place. Okay.
Second.
The girl who beat me by 54 seconds, her swim time was 23 minutes.
Oh, wow.
She smoked everybody on the swim.
Wow.
So I got her by 4 minutes on the bike and by another 2 on the run, but not enough. So I'm going to keep working on the swim. Okay, enough about me.
Wow.
Enough about me. How about
great
you, Mom?
Job.
I didn't
great
even
job.
Know you were racing this weekend. See, he's so cool.
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't? Are you serious? See how sick my athletes are?
And I wasn't going to tell anybody, and it's not really that great of a story, but I'll tell you anyway. I've done Malibu many, many times, and I probably would have done Malibu because I probably would have done the Olympic distance,
mm-hmm.
even though they only started the Olympic distance a couple of years ago,
right.
So they always just had the classic distance or
right.
whatever it was. But ordinarily, I would have done that race with you. Only a friend of mine, Mark Arenal, was going out to Lake Las Vegas to do the one out there. And I hadn't decided to do any racing because I'm building for Kona.
Right.
So I haven't really, you know, wanted to commit to anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, let me see. I'm, you know, 4 weeks out from Kona. Yeah, probably.
Is it 4 weeks already?
Yeah, it's actually less now. But it's like, okay, so, you know, the timing's about right. It'd be good and sharpen me up. And,
right.
And
Olympic stuff. Distance?
Olympic distance. It's out at Lake Las Vegas, which is actually in the city of Henderson. And I don't know if you've been out there, but it's just it's a great venue for race.
I have been out there, and it is a great venue.
Yeah, it's really cool. They've got a couple of nice hotels there. There's the Lowe's, which was the host hotel, mm-hmm. and that's where the transition was, and the expo and all that.
So did you taper for this, or
no?
You're kind of just plowing right through.
I'm on a 2 week block of extremely. I'm in my, you know, race mode now. So
right.
I've got two really hard weeks.
Yeah.
That came on Saturday towards the end of, you know, my first
right.
really tough week. So now I'm in my second tough week. But no tapering. I didn't taper a minute for that race.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I swam 4,500 meters that morning, or the morning before the race. So
oh, wow.
I just, you know, went right through it. But anyway.
For him, 4,500 meters. No big deal.
Well, yeah, I don't usually swim that long, though. That's something else we'll talk about in a future session. But anyways.
Maybe you need some swim crack.
I know. It was cool. I was out there, and I always dress really warm in the morning. I don't like to be cold, so I've got my gloves on, my sweatpants,
cool?
and my sweatshirt.
Yeah, gloves, too?
Oh, yeah, totally. I do that every race.
Yeah, it's good to have a hat on. Always pack a hat in the transition.
Yeah, I always dress really warm.
Yeah.
And everybody else was standing around shivering.
No, I hate being cold.
So it was
cold right now.
60, it was probably 65 or so.
What was the water temperature?
Water temperature was 81.
Whoa, no wetsuits.
So no wetsuits.
Oh, forget it. I'm not doing that race.
Yeah, but that's good for me because I'm a little bit stronger on the swim than the average guy in
my age group. Even though your body type would indicate that you'd be a sinker. That's what they call us.
Yeah.
Sinkers.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so anyway.
But, it was windy.
Oh,
so
not good.
It starts on this tiny little beach just outside of the Lowe's. It's a little bay, actually. And it's a beach start. And you swim out underneath this bridge in this real narrow channel before you get out to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of a weird setup because they've got a little swim corral to keep the kids in the area. You know, it's roped off and
mm-hmm.
stuff, and they left the ropes up. So we had to swim over the top of these ropes in order to get out. So anyway, we took off. And
how many people in your wave?
Well, there's 70, we counted like 75 people. And a couple of those were relay
mm-hmm.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, I think the final head count for the whole race was 67 people.
Oh,
not
very
in a wave.
Small
that's
race.
That's the whole race.
Oh, wow. So small race.
Very small. So if you want a podium,
grassroots.
That's a good one to go to.
Do you hear that, people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to pick your races.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a good one. So anyway, took off, went pretty hard in order to get out, you know, in front of a lot of the folks.
Because at this point, you know there's 71 people. You could win the whole darn thing.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, definitely not. Thank you. But the swim went good. There was probably a half a dozen people that got out ahead of me, and then they just kept spreading
further,
you know,
further
the distance. Yeah, they just kept. They were swimmers. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a triathlete. These people were clearly, you know, really strong swimmers.
You'll get them on the bike.
So they took off, they're widening the gap, and it was a little bit rough on the way out.
Really? Yeah, those lake waves.
And I had nobody to follow, because I totally agree with the drafting thing. But if I was going to draft, these people were gone. If I was going to draft, I'd have to draft off somebody slower than me.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I stuck it out in the middle of no man's land.
Yeah.
Got up to the first buoy, and just noticed after I hit the first buoy that now all of a sudden the waves are really picking up.
Those lake waves can be crazy because there's no dissipation, you know, they just come at you from everywhere.
No,
absolutely. Another thing you need to consider when you pick your races.
Yeah, well, coming back, it was very wavy and it was really choppy, so I drank a lot of water coming back, but I had to stop and take my goggles off and look around because it wasn't very well marked. But that, you know, that's okay. It's not a big deal. And it wasn't an important race to me, but there wasn't anybody else around to
yeah.
find. So anyway.
So no wetsuit, fresh water swim.
Yeah. Rough, choppy water. Not a lot of people, but anyway, so it was good. And I noticed, I didn't stop my watch when I got out of the water. The timing mat was actually up in transition. It wasn't down on the beach, but I noticed my time about halfway up the ramp, and it was about 33 minutes. I thought, man, I was going pretty hard. So I think the swim was long, and just looking at everybody's times.
You never know what the swim times.
So got up to transition, which was way up this hill, about a quarter mile run to get to transition.
Nice.
And didn't have a speedy transition, took my time. Once you get out of transition to get on the bike, it's straight uphill. So it wasn't one of those races where you clip your shoes in the pedals.
Right.
And, you know.
Okay, so you put your bike shoes on in transition.
Put them on in transition.
Which is something you don't normally do.
Right.
Right.
They had it in the small chain ring.
Right.
You know, the biggest cog in the back, and just, you know, spun my way
right.
up the hill. And didn't see anybody on the bike course until about mile six. Didn't see anybody. Now, keep in mind that there was a sprint race too, same exact venue.
Okay.
They let the sprint folks go off ahead of us, and the bike course was the same. We just went out further than the sprint people. So
okay,
it was a turnaround.
So it was an out and back. They had a shorter turnaround.
Uh-huh. So I'm cruising along.
Windy?
Pretty windy. Very hilly.
What kind of wheels?
Extremely
hilly. What were you using?
I was just using my. I was. This is a.
These were just
C race.
Just
for
used
me.
Your training wheels.
Just my training wheels.
Okay.
But at the turnaround, some guy who was in my race was confused, and he's kind of looking and he's weaving back and forth. And I'm at this point, I'm going down a hill. I'm probably going 28 miles an hour, and I'm yelling at him to get out of my way, and he's not paying attention. So I barely missed the guy.
Oh.
Yelled a few things at him as I went by. And,
encouraging things, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was, way to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, I blew by him, and he was really the only guy that I saw on my bike course for a long, long time.
Wow. Why
41-year-old guy blew by me going up one of the hills. He was seriously good. I think he actually came in third overall.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I maybe passed two more people on the entire bike course, because there weren't that many people ahead of me because of the swim.
So the marshals weren't out there checking for drafting.
No, there was nobody.
Was it a USAT race?
It was a USAT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, USAT rules and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, made it out to the turnaround, came back, but it was my goal was to push about 220 watts
mm-hmm.
on the bike, which is a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I was going to be able to maintain that. My training, without a taper, my training that week just wouldn't permit it. So I actually averaged 213, which is, you know, which is fine.
What was your average speed?
What was it? 17.9. So that tells you that it was windy and it was hilly,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that was not
mm-hmm.
fast.
Yeah.
But, did the rest of the bike without incident. There was a guy that was down. In police cars and an ambulance came, so I think he crashed pretty hard, don't like to see that. But anyway, so got to transition, and would have been a speedy transition, but I sort of overhydrated, so I had to pay a visit to the porta potty.
You didn't do your business on the bike?
You know, I've tried to pee on the bike.
Are you kidding me?
I have literally tried to do that, and I've never been able to do it. I just haven't been able to do it. So anyway, I stopped at porta potty. Again, it's not important. If it was of that important race, I just wouldn't have peed at all. I just would have kept going. But anyway, so I transitioned, and the run started out going up the same hill out of transition.
Okay.
But then it went off into the dirt. So we were out in the desert on this dirt road.
Right.
And I felt great on the run. I mean, I just, you know, I felt really, really strong. I was going fast, and I passed another guy that was, how old was he? I was thinking about mentioning something to him, but then I didn't.
Like, don't let your daddy pass you, honey. Don't let your daddy pass you, son.
He was 27 years old. I'm double his age. I'm thinking, dude, I'm twice as old as you. I wouldn't
get
you
your button gear. Don't let your daddy pass you.
So I went right by him, but the only other people on the course that I saw were sprint racers. The sprint run was on the same course.
So you were out in front
business,
because other people hadn't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew there were people ahead of me. There's probably...
So kind of a hilly run?
Very hilly run, off on dirt roads. So I'm running along, and I get to the turnaround, and I grab a thing of heat, and I grab some water, douse myself, drink the heat, run back, and I'm cruising. I'm doing great. And you get back to the resort area, and you're running on the sidewalk now. Run on the sidewalk, I'm following the signs right to the run course. And I run, and I'm going down this path that takes you alongside the hotel. And I'm running, there's sprint people out there that I'm passing and stuff. And all of a sudden there's the finish line. And I'm like, uh-oh, something's wrong. I've gone about 3 miles and I'm already to the finish line.
Oh no.
So I'm I don't know where to go. And I'm like, maybe the
veers off or something.
So I get to the finish line and there's one of the race officials. And I go, I'm in the Olympic distance race. And I'm not done yet. Where am I supposed to go?
This is like a nightmare.
And he goes, I have no idea. I'm like, you're a race official. And he goes, I don't know, it's out there somewhere. So I ran back. Seriously, I ran all the way back to the corner.
That's anxiety.
And, you know, probably half a mile or so, ran back. Everybody's looking at me like, what the hell is this? Get to the police. I asked the police, they're directing traffic. Where's the course? They go, we don't know. We're not here. We don't know anything about the race. We're here just to keep you guys safe.
Oh no. That's what you get for being so fast.
So then I knew that I blew it at that point, but I didn't know where.
You didn't know where to go from there.
So I had no idea where to
go. That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
It's the strangest thing that ever happened to me.
This is a strange race report.
I've done over 100 triathlons in my career, well over 100, and never had anything like this happen.
I never heard of anything like that happening. Seriously, that's the kind of stuff that would like wake you from your sleep.
Yeah, you know. It's like a nightmare.
Yeah, oh my God, I've gotten to the race and I've made a wrong turn and we're... What happened?
I just went back to the finish and
So you didn't really have a run time. Was there...
No.
Did you find out later? Did you go off the course?
I did find out later. They posted the race results and I won over everybody.
Over everybody.
Yeah. Of course, I only ran half the run course.
I love it.
But the turnaround that I went to, that was for the sprint. Uh-huh. The Olympic people were supposed to go straight. They had nobody there directing traffic. They had no signs that I saw. And there was nobody ahead of me to follow, you know. So
that's a bummer. Because if that had been an important race for you, I'd have been bummed out.
I would have been really bummed out.
Yeah.
And I was bummed out anyway, you know, because I wanted to go there and really do well. And it turned out...
Well, what was your run pace when you were running?
I was about 7:30.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for a hilly course, I was happy.
Yeah.
There were only two other guys in my age group.
So you would have been on the podium for sure. I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, is this the same course as the big Las Vegas triathlon that they do? That's the team or the club championship or they call that?
I have no idea. Because this is the first time I've been out there. And then Silverman's coming up in November, and they ride some of it too. So I don't
really know. Yeah, that's Silverman's a big deal. We'll have to talk about that sometime.
But anyway, my friend Mark.
Way over our time. Are we in trouble?
Have we had our time? But anyway, I just wanted to say one last thing.
The problem is, we love to talk.
One last thing before we sign off. My friend Mark Arenal, the guy that talked me into this,
right,
came in first place in his age group, 50-54.
So he did the right run course.
He did the entire run course.
Good for him.
And he came in first place. It's
good for him. Congratulations. What's his
name?
Good
job, Mark Arenal.
Mark Arenal. Way to go. And what was his time overall?
I think it was 3:09.
Wow. So hilly course.
Hilly and windy. Yeah.
Hilly and windy because, you know, for somebody that's pretty fast, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then, here's our race report.
There's the race report. So we're going to talk next time about...
Really quickly, though, I have to say one thing.
Oh, okay.
There were dolphins in Malibu. There were pods of dolphins out swimming along the swim course. And you know I'm a mermaid. So, I mean, I saw the dolphins and I said, this is just so amazing. I'm just so thankful to be a triathlete and to be able to be in places and see this kind of thing. We went straight to the water after the race finished stood in the cold water, 59 degrees, prevents post-race muscle soreness. We're standing there and we look over and the dolphins are surfing us. They're surfing right there in Malibu. So I give the Malibu Triathlon not only two thumbs up, I give it two full hands up. It's a great race. Anybody in the country who's ever considering coming to Southern California the beginning of September, I would say sign up
for Cause Racing, KOZ.
KOZ.
Next time we're going to talk about Swim Crack.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've got show and tell too.
We do have show and tell.
Tune in.
It's going to be very revealing.
Okay.
Welcome.
Sherry.
How you doing?
Welcome back to Tri Chatter.
Yes.
Today we've got one of Sherry's favorite subjects. She's got a little goggle eyes tonight because she was
just... See my goggle eyes. I know. I was going to wear sunglasses tonight because that's usually what I do. It's unfortunate because I've always had these issues with goggles when I find... they leak, and I've got contact lenses, and you can't swim with leaky goggles. And so when I finally find some, I don't know if it's, I just have tender skin or what, but I get this goggle face. I've tried that Aquasphere mask before, but that, it's got too much surface area. It ends up leaking, too.
Yeah.
Plus, it slows you down when you're, a torpedo in the water like me. Anyway, so I wanted to... bring my swim bag and see if maybe you can help me out here.
Sure.
And I know how you feel about swim, some people call it aquatic crack, swim tools, swim aids, and I just thought we could talk about some of the things that are in my swim bag and you could give me your take on it because you're the great swimmer guy. Here's the goggles I was talking about. I finally found some that I really like.
Let me see.
They're Blue 70. These are actually open water goggles. Like I said, in Swimmer magazine, they had a whole spread about all these people tested different goggles, and for open water swimming, these are supposed to be great. For Malibu, cinched them real tight so that when I was diving under the waves, they wouldn't leak. There's a little bit of leakage going on. I had to kind of adjust them once, but they were fine.
Small. And I know you've got a swim cap there in your hand.
I've got so many swim caps in
here. Do you put your goggles on first and then your swim cap?
Goggles on first, and I know that some people say that you should put, I take that back. I put my swim cap on first, and then I put my goggles on.
Okay, why?
Because I like it that way. And I know that some people say to put your goggles on first, and then your swim cap,
right.
In case somebody kicks you in the head,
right.
Then your goggles, you don't lose them. I find that sometimes when I do that, my swim cap starts coming off. I think the goggles kind of hold my swim cap down a little bit.
Maybe it's because of your hair or something.
Yeah.
I've never had that.
Yeah, because I put my hair up in a ponytail and then I put the strap of the goggles kind of over. But I've never had anybody kick me so hard in the face where I have lost my goggles in the surf, one of my first races.
Mm.
I came up out of the surf and I went, oh my gosh, because of course the waves knocked me over. I lost my goggles. I'm looking at this woman and said, honey, they're hanging around your neck.
Oh, they came down instead of
They
off.
Came down.
Yeah.
But that's never been a problem for me. But yes, I've got...
Now when you race, you bring two sets of goggles?
I bring two sets of goggles.
Yeah.
I've learned not to bring any more than two sets because I subscribe to the theory that you don't want to have too many choices on race day. You want to have just what you're going to need. So I bring a pair of dark lenses like this. If the light's going to be really bright.
Yep.
And then I bring a pair of like amber lenses if it's cloudy or clear, clear lenses. Okay, so, and then like I said, I've got a million swim caps. I don't know, they seem to be metastasizing in my bag. But, okay, here's my first part of my aquatic crack.
Okay.
Is my Zoomers.
Zoomers.
Okay, tell me what you think about Zoomers. Do you use Zoomers now?
Besides the fact that they're really funny looking.
Well, yeah, they are.
And I wouldn't be caught dead in these.
Why?
Because they're funny looking.
Well, other than that.
No, I don't think I don't use any of this stuff. And I don't know.
Have you ever? Did you quit it? Did you swear it off?
Yeah, but I was never hooked on any of it. I've never had a pair of Zoomers. I've never owned a pair of Zoomers. But I've heard negative things about swimming with fins, that it causes more stress on your Achilles and your ankle and things like that. yeah, I've never used them.
Yeah, I really only use the Zoomers. I don't use them very much for speed work. Now, when I go to the Masters swim at Nova, you know, you have to, of course, have all of your aquatic crack with you. And so if he tells us that we're doing speed work and we're swimming with the Zoomers, then I'm swimming with the Zoomers.
Yeah.
I'm doing what he tells me to do.
Yeah, because he'll yell at you.
Well, he's gonna humble me often. But I find that they're kind of useful if I'm doing drills,
yeah,
and I want to focus on my upper body, uh-huh, and I don't want to have to be worried about too much kicking, you know?
Yeah.
So if I'm doing like side kicking drills, mm-hmm, or if I'm doing one arm drills, sometimes I'll use the Zoomers because it, like I said, it helps me focus on what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's our next piece of aquatic crack, and yeah, you know all
paddles
about these.
Paddles. Oh yeah, I've got tons of these. Tons of them. I've got...
Maybe you can make a sculpture or something.
I've got so many of these.
A reformed paddle.
But I don't like these either. And I never use them.
And don't forget about this.
Yeah.
This is a pool buoy, for those of you who are listening on the podcast. Yeah. It's this sort of hourglass-shaped large styrofoam contraption. Mine happens to be pink and gray. Most of them are blue and white. And you put it between your legs with the bigger end of it towards your backside. And the theory is that it keeps your body in a nice position up like this, so you don't have to be kicking or anything. And while you're wearing that, now this is up. Isn't this up? The big end's
yes.
up.
Yeah.
The big end's up, holding you up. And then you've got these paddles on so that you can be really working on your upper body and your strength and not having to use your lower body. I like the paddles in their place.
And what do you think? What do they do for you?
I think they build strength for me. Yeah. The other reason I like to use the paddles, well, of course, when I go to Nova and he says, put your paddles on, I put my paddles on and I do what I'm supposed to do. And but the other thing, okay, I think they really are helping to build my lat strength, and I'm really working on trying to, and it kind of helps exaggerate that high elbow pull. The other thing is, I'm not a natural bilateral breather. I breathe on the left, and I'm trying to get better at breathing on the right. But when I swim with the paddles and pool boy, I do only bilateral breathing. So that is one time that I make myself do bilateral breathing. So
that's a good skill.
What do you think about that? And if that's really about the only time that I can really balance out that stroke, don't you think that it's probably good that I use those?
Well, I think it's good that you bilaterally breathe. I think that's a good skill to have, one that I don't possess. I mean, I can go to I breathe on my right, and I can go to my left if I have to,
mm-hmm,
but yeah, I breathe to my right, and I admire people that
and that's another whole episode that we're going to have to do, is we're going to have to talk about breathing, because I feel like a loser sometimes that I don't bilaterally breathe when I'm racing.
Well, you know, here's my opinion on bilaterally breathing. I think it's great if you can do it, mm-hmm, and you're good at it. I think it helps keep you more balanced in the water.
Mm-hmm.
The best time for me to have been able to bilaterally breathe, mm-hmm, it happened to be at a triathlon that I was doing out at in Palm Springs. And I had a guy to my right, and I breathed to my right, and every time I go to my right, he was splashing so much that I was getting a mouthful of water.
Oh.
And, you know, you can do that when you're really exerting yourself, you know, once, you know, get a mouth of water, and then you're counting on that next breath to be able to breathe again, right? Same thing. That happened 3 times in a row.
So did you just grab him and hold him under?
I should have. Instead,
that's what a lot of people would have done. See what a good guy he is?
Yeah, right.
You didn't just nail him?
I should have.
Some people do that.
But if I had been able to bilaterally breathe, I could have gone to the other side. Instead, what I chose to do, because I got in 3 consecutive mouths of water, I stopped. Lost some time there, stopped, and then started to breathe again.
Right.
But so it's a great skill, and I admire people that
skill.
Can do it. But I also think that when you're really exerting yourself to breathe every 3 strokes, you know, so that you are bilaterally breathing, it's you're
I
not getting
enough
air.
Air
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I feel like I'm hypoxic and, panicked almost.
Yeah, so the athletes that I coach, you're going to favor one side or the other, even if you bilaterally breathe. I say just breathe every two strokes.
Yeah.
So I breathe every time to my right. You sound like you breathe every time.
Well, you know what I try to do sometimes too in my swim workouts is I'll try to do 3 strokes to my good side, to my left side, where I'm real happy, then 1 bilateral breath, then 3 strokes to my right side.
Okay.
Then 1 bilateral breath and 3 strokes to my, I know at Nova, he'll often, tell us do 50 yards on your weak side, 50 yards on your, I think that the more you can get practice swimming on that weak side, the stronger you're going to, and the
absolutely
more balanced you're going to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are my aquatic crack for bilateral breathing. Now, I have this other goodie in here. I've got a lot of stuff in here. This is my plastic bag with my swim workout in it. Of course, if you're going to have a swim workout that you take to the pool, if you're not going to Masters or something like that, you want to have put in a plastic bag. But I've got a goodie in here that's kind of new.
Yep, got one of those.
It's a tempo trainer.
Yep.
Let me see if I can turn it on. Now, this is a new thing for me because my swim coach told me I have a pitifully slow stroke count.
Mm.
Stroke rate.
Yeah.
He said, think about it like this. You're running and you're only going like this. So I use this and I keep setting it faster and faster. What do you think about that? Would that be in the crack category?
Yeah, I think so. But
I am busted.
But no,
have you ever used that?
Whatever works, I have used this, and I've used all these tools. And what I do, I just sped it up. I forget how to turn it off. I think they're great tools, and I think that if they help make you a better swimmer, I think it's great. I don't use any of this stuff. I use goggles. It's the only thing that I use.
Do you need a swim cap?
But that's the reason. The only reason why I don't use this is because I'm comfortable with my stroke. I don't think that I'm going to gain anything by using any of this stuff. So I just concentrate mostly on my speed and endurance. But that's me.
And you do other things to build strength in your arms? Do you lift weights?
I've got extremely strong lats. So.
Hear that?
Yeah. I mean, that's just how I'm built.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, it's from the butterfly. All those years of doing the butterfly.
Yeah, I was an IM guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't bench press probably 50 pounds, but
you could,
on a
you
lat
can
pull
do
down,
the lat pull down.
300
yeah.
pounds, easy.
Yeah. Well, my opinion on the aquatic crack and the swim bag stuff is there is a time and a place for some people, and I don't know that I'm going to actually ever give up some of it. The zoomers I could probably give up, but I think that if used properly, I think that the swim tools can help some people.
There is a place for them.
There is definitely a place for them.
Great.
And then when you get really good, you just get in there and swim 4,500 meters. And
that's just me.
Yeah, and that's just before breakfast. Well, this was interesting.
Thanks for bringing your swim crack.
Because of my swim crack.
Yeah. No, it's good. If it makes you better.
It helps me.
Well, next time.
What are we going to do about the goggle face, though? If you have any tips on how to prevent. Any of our listeners have tips on how to prevent goggle face?
I like the raccoon look on you. It's good.
It's bad. It's really bad.
We're going to talk next time about tapering. Tapering. Great subject.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
See you soon.
Talk to the people.
Okay. Welcome back to Tri Chatter once again, Ron and Sherry.
Hello.
Our topic for this segment is tapering.
Yes. Define tapering. It can be used in a couple different contexts.
Okay.
I mean, tapering for a race, tapering down from your season, all sorts of different. It can be micro taper, macro taper.
Okay. So what are we
talking
about?
I would say the definition
today
is getting yourself in perfect race condition for your big race.
Pre-race tapering. Okay.
Pre-race tapering. I think that's what we should talk about today.
Okay.
What do you think?
Perfect.
Okay. First of all, there's a couple, the way you taper and the length of your taper is going to be dependent on how long of a race you're doing.
I agree.
So So generally, for an Ironman, when do you usually start your taper? When do you do your biggest workout?
Yeah, I do. I'm in the middle of my two big weeks.
You call those your peak weeks? That's what I call
my
them.
Peak. Yeah, my peak racing weeks. Mm-hmm. The terminology that we actually use at Triathica is a maximum week.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two maximum weeks, and for me, that's roughly 20 hours of training. So you're going pretty long, and you're going hard.
Yeah.
You know, you're going faster than race pace for these workouts.
Yeah.
So two really big weeks, and then 3 weeks of taper.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do for an Ironman.
Right. That's what I would recommend too, a 3 week taper for an Ironman.
Now, some people, you know, and if you're younger, or if you're professional, you know, maybe you don't need 3 weeks. But not that I'm a, you know, I've only done three Ironman races, so I don't consider myself an expert in that area. But
and everyone is a learning experience, it seems like.
It is, and you know, we're learning all the time from what the pros have written and you know, what they prescribe. And
we're passing that on to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so the guys that I'm taking my cues from are Dave Scott and Mark Allen, you know, I mean, two of the best.
They've got to know what they were doing.
In the business, so. I feel better with a 3 week taper for an Ironman race.
Mm-hmm. And the 3 week taper, you know, and of course we're starting with the Ironman here, where we always start with the crazy people and then work our way down. When you're an Ironman triathlete and you're such a lot of us are sort of type A personalities and you're just so geared up toward all this training and you're 20 hours a week and all of a sudden you have to start tapering.
Right.
And you're doing less and less volume. You're keeping your intensity high, and we'll talk more about that later. But you're doing less and less, and I find for some athletes, they start to really get a little stir crazy. They start questioning themselves and saying, "I want to get the, you know, I think I should do another long bike ride 2 weeks out. I just really feel like I need to get in that 120 miles or whatever," and it's so sometimes difficult to convey to them how important it is to properly taper and to really get your body ready for such a grueling distance.
Well, they're concerned, and I get concerned about losing fitness. Now, I've worked, you know, however long you've worked to build up to the to your race and you're doing a 3 week taper, so you're concerned about, hey, I'm gonna lose my fitness if I taper 3 weeks.
Right.
But I think you hit one of the key things. I think the best taper is reducing your mileage but keeping the intensity up. That I think is key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, you're going for 20 hours and then you drop down to 4 hours.
Right,
it's
a gradual taper
each
week.
It's a gradual taper, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the proper way to do it. But, and I tend to go stir crazy as well. It's like I've got all this extra time.
Oh my gosh,
of a sudden.
I can actually
like
do my laundry.
I'm training 20 hours, now I'm down.
I can call my friends.
Yeah, I'm down to, you know, 16 hours, let's say. It's like,
that's
I've got four more
hours
a week, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm down to 12 hours. It's like, wow, I'm doing only, you know, about half of what I was at my peak, and then I'm down to 8 hours. It's kind of disconcerting, right? And it's kind of
because
you
mental thing. You go down about 70%, you know.
So you worry about that. Then the other thing that I find is that all the aches and pains that I didn't really notice before, it's like, oh man, in my shoulder, oh, in my knee. I start to feel these things, and they were probably there before. But
you weren't sitting still long enough.
No, maybe that's it. But as you get closer and closer to the race, you're doing less and less volume. Maybe you've got more stuff to think about and worry about.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's just me.
Yeah.
That's how I get kind of mental.
Yeah. Okay, so we're saying 3 weeks, generally speaking, you want to do for a taper for an Ironman. What about the half Ironman or the 70.3 Ironman, as they call it now? It's not half, apparently, anymore.
Yeah. For my halves, I do a 2 week taper.
Mm-hmm.
So same philosophy, you know, reducing the miles but keeping the intensity up.
Absolutely.
And again, the volume just comes down. in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what we do our taper for 2 weeks too. And it's funny because when we do Ironman, the California 70.3, that's always 2 weeks after the Solvang Century Ride.
Oh.
So we always put the Solvang Century Ride into our training
plan.
Great idea. You got to come up this year.
I've never done it.
You've never done Solvang? Okay, we'll talk about that later. And how I think off season, we're gonna get off on a tangent, but I think off season century rides are so essential. That's where I really get a lot of my mileage.
Love it.
But anyway, we do the Solvang Century Ride, very hilly, beautiful ride. Second weekend of March, and then we start our taper. And we usually do that ride, and then we go out and do a half an hour run afterwards. And then the following day, we do a long run.
Yeah.
We do, you know, usually, I don't know, a 10 or 12 mile run. I can't remember what's on my training plan, but 2 weeks, I think, is sufficient for a half Ironman. And if you, you know, again, decrease that volume every week and keep that intensity high and know exactly what you're out there doing, you're out there to fire up those muscles, get everything going, and then, you know, crank it back and let everything heal and get your body all prepared.
Yeah.
What about Olympic distance?
Half of that.
Yeah.
I'm one week taper. When, you know, I just did an Olympic distance race. I trained right through it, you know. So if it was an A race for me, it was a very important race.
Right.
Then yeah, 1 week taper.
Yeah. That's what we did for Malibu this week. And like I was telling you in my race report, I felt like I had just a great taper for Malibu. And these athletes that I'm coaching on the YMCA triathlon team, some of them, you know, this is their first or their second season. And so, you know, I really felt like it was my duty, one of the most important things, because this was a big race for them, Malibu. One of the most important things I could do for them was to help them understand how important it is to taper and to bring that volume down and to do a specific workout each day of that week. And here's what you want to do, guys. And then you want to have a nice recovery drink afterwards, get the glycogen in the muscles, and rest. You know, one of the guys said, I think I'm going to go out and ride for 2 hours on Tuesday. I feel like I need to get this cardio, this ride in. And I said, I don't recommend that you do that.
Yeah.
Nothing that you do, in my opinion, 10 days before a race is going to do anything to improve
your fitness. Right.
And if it's going to do anything, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know? And one of them said, you know, I got this kind of this thing going on with my calf, but I'm going to come to the speed work, you know, because I always like to do the week of a race, my sort of generic track workout is to go and do, you know, the warm up and the cool down, but in between 4 and 6 400s. That's just what I do for an Olympic distance race. That's my taper. You know, usually about 4 days before, 3 or 4 days before.
But you're going hard.
Well, I'm going hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing those 400s hard. Yeah. I'm firing it up. Yeah. And he goes, well, you know, I'm gonna come to the track workout. My leg's a little sore. I said, don't do it. It's not going to do you any good to push that. If you really feel like you need to, get in the water and run in the water. Do some intervals in the water. Just get everything fired up.
Yeah.
So, and then what about a sprint?
Just a couple of days, you know, 3 days, 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're a long, you know, if you're an experienced triathlete and you've done all these races, sometimes I don't even taper very much at all for a sprint. In fact, Pacific Coast last year, we rode 60 miles the day before that race.
Yeah, well, but that wasn't an A race for you though, was it?
No, it wasn't an A race. I just wanted to try out my new bike. Because I hadn't raced on it
yet.
I hadn't raced on it yet, and I was going to be doing Ironman Canada because Pat Coast was in July last year. That's a great race too, by the way. Ron's going to do it this weekend.
Yeah. Well, you're racing this weekend too, aren't you?
No, I'm doing a relay. I'm going to do a relay because I'm upping my marathon training. Okay, so back to taper. So Ron, I'm going to ask you to tell me some of your favorite taper workouts in all the legs of the triathlon sport and why you like them.
Well, on the my swim workouts are a little bit unconventional. We're going to try to make them conventional, but essentially what I do in my swim workout, as I cut my yards back, my normal swim workout, whatever phase I'm in, is normally 3,000 meters. Mm-hmm. So I'll do 3,000 meters all year round. And I try to do it twice a week. Mm-hmm. I up it to three times a week just before when I'm in my race phase, but I only swim twice a week, which is not enough for a lot of people, but I'm working more on my bike.
Right, because the swim is not your weakness.
Right, so I'm trying to improve the bike where I can make up more time.
Right.
And if I throw another swim workout in, I might gain, 30 seconds on an Ironman race, I might be 2 minutes faster, but on the bike portion, I might be 15 minutes
right.
faster if I dedicate that same time. So that, anyway, that's just me. But essentially what I do is I do 50 easy followed by 200 hard. 50 easy, 200 hard. And I do that for 1,500 meters, and then I get my heart rate down, I stop, get my heart rate down, and then mm-hmm. I do the same thing. But it's no stopping, 1,500 meters straight.
You're right, 50, so you're doing 200,
50 easy? 200. And that's kind of like race phase. So when I get into the taper phase, then I'll change that up. It depends on the week, but I'll end up going from 50 hard, 50 easy to 200 hard. I'll go to 100 easy, 150 hard. And then I'll go 150 easy, 100 hard. So it's always in blocks of 250, which is 10 lengths of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So I just switch that around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my swim taper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so the one for the bike that you like to do, you get on your Compu trainer.
Yeah, I'm on my Compu trainer, probably three times a week.
Right.
And my real taper on the bike just comes with shorter rides on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So
you gotta keep what you're doing during the week.
Yeah, my weekday workouts are pretty much the same. I'll do a recovery ride on Monday. Tuesday I'll do power. Thursday, I'll do intervals,
mm-hmm.
and Saturday, I'll just keep reducing the miles.
Well, so Tuesday, if you're normally working on power, you're going to cut that back a little bit so you're not taxing your legs too much?
No. The only cutback that I do is on the weekend, on the Saturday ride. I max out at 7 hours. So I'll just back it down,
Yeah.
So like this weekend, for example, it'll be 5 hours. Just keep peeling it back. Same thing with the run, really. I mean, my workouts during the week on the run, I'm on the treadmill once doing intervals. I do a tempo run,
mm-hmm.
and then on Sundays my long run.
Mm-hmm.
I just reduce the volume of that one.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do?
Well, I teach the spin class on Tuesday and Thursday morning,
mm-hmm.
so pretty much no matter what is going on, I'm teaching those. And on Tuesdays, I have more of an emphasis on speed and muscular endurance, and on Thursdays, it's usually high intensity and hills. This week, when I had Malibu coming up, I actually got a sub for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't teach because I like to do the speed. But I like to cut back on the intensity and on the hills. I feel like I need to have fresh legs. So I try to tend to keep it on high rep, high intensity. And I do, I told you about my favorite run workout. That's usually kind of what I do. If I'm training for a longer race, maybe I'm doing 800s instead of the 400s.
Right.
At a fast pace, but not a whole lot of them. I wouldn't do more than 2 miles of speed work when I'm tapering. And then same thing as you, on the weekend rides, just keep cutting back on the mileage. And I don't cut back too much on the swim because I need it. What I usually do this week when I was tapering for Malibu, and again, this is just an Olympic distance taper. It's always different with the longer courses. You're going to be swimming longer. But I did, after my warm-ups, and I always do drills because I need them with my aquatic crack, I did some 300 sets and some 500 sets where I would go really hard for the first 100. Then settle on the 300s, I would go hard for the first 100, settle in for 100, and then go hard for the third 100.
Mm.
And then I would, add that, bookend it with the longer ones. Because I like to train myself to get that really breathless feeling.
Yep.
and then settle in. And then, you know, you're always picking up the pace again at the end of the swim. So I like to kind of train myself to do that. Yeah. But I always always have my recovery drink right there when I'm those taper weeks. I always get that nutrition into my body as soon as I can to maximize the muscle regeneration and the recovery, because I think that's important.
Yeah.
You got your chocolate milk.
That's another subject.
I've been drinking chocolate milk.
I love it too.
That moose stuff from Trader Joe's. So I think that's some good information about tapering.
Great topic. How important is it, Ron? Yeah.
How important?
It's critical if you want to do well.
It is so important. Yeah. I'll tell you, you can do so much more harm than good by overdoing it in those last couple of weeks of a long race taper, or you know, even the week of an Olympic distance race. Just calm down. The work has already been done. The work has been done.
I agree.
Yes. Yeehaw. Okay. We're signing off.
See you next time.
So, Ron, how are people supposed to find us, by the way?
Well, they can find us at Triathica, TRIATHICA.com.
That's where you'll find Ron. You'll find me at CoachSBR.com. Visit us on the internet. Find out. We've got lots of information on both of our websites. And upcoming events might be announced too. Stay tuned.